You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio. And we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairway, is we're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio, and we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. We in? Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. Today in the studio, someone who I have not seen in quite a few years, we have Ali Shaper from Brooklyn Enology. Thank you for coming to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Excellent. So let's jump right into it. You've had, you started Brooklyn Enology in 2006 in Greenpoint.
Yep.
And you've been making wines ever since. What was the inspiration for doing this?
Well, I knew I wanted to have a winery one day. And sounds like it's a lot more glamorous and fun. But it's a lot of hard work, but something I'm really willing to work for. It's great. And I had moved to Brooklyn just north of Red Hook and the Columbia Street waterfront. Mm-hmm. And just kind of bopping around the neighborhood not long after I moved in. I just kind of looking around the neighborhood and seeing how much it had changed since way back when. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came to Brooklyn because I really wanted to be here and part of the culture and the scene, and that plus kind of realizing what was going on around me in the warehouses and the industrial areas was just really a transformation of what Brooklyn was all about, from heavy industry into sort of what I think of, you know, I call it artisanal industry in my mind, and you know, people doing all, yeah. You know, creating everywhere. So,
especially down in Red Hook, Etsy was started down there.
Yeah.
You've got all kinds of other artists doing big projects down there as well. You've got, man,
Beer down there,
you got
too.
Beer down there, too. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a really good time for Red Hook, you know, as far as the production of quality, fun stuff goes.
Yeah.
Now, were you working, before you started this, were you working at a winery, or were you working in the restaurant industry, or were you just like an enthusiast?
All of the above.
Okay. I figured.
Yeah, I got into the wine business back in 2000, and it was a hobby at that point, and I had a different life and a different career, and I had been living in the Hudson Valley at the time, and I was taking some time off from my responsible job, but decided I need to become a responsible adult and get a job, but I wanted it to be fun. And I came across an ad for somebody to work in a tasting room, you know, the person there pouring and talking about the wines and giving tours. And so I answered that ad, and that was kind of the beginning of my next life. And from there, I went to the stores that were called Vintage New York. There were two of them in Manhattan, and they featured all New York wines. And because they were attached to a winery, you were able to sample and taste everything that was in the store, and I really got immersed in the whole New York wine scene there, and really learned a lot just by, you know, osmosis and consumption. And from there, took some additional classes over at the International Wine Center in Manhattan, and eventually came to direct a wine program for a restaurant group on Long Island. And then after that, kind of jumped ship to go full time into wine and started working for a distributor in a marketing and promotions program. So I got a really great look at the whole industry from the selling and buying side. Yeah. And, you know, by the time I had gotten this far, you know, about 5 years, 6 years into my wine life, you know, I had this idea that a winery would be in my future, but much further in the future, until it just dawned on me, you know, why am I going to wait anymore? It's what my end game is. So during that time that I was working for the distributor, I had moved into Brooklyn, and the idea just literally came to me one day like a lightning bolt. You know, Zeus threw down his bolt, and thus was born BOE.
Nice. Now, when you started out, how many varietals did you start out with?
Just two.
Like the Merlot.
Yeah, there was a Merlot and a Chardonnay, and you know, I didn't want to start too big too fast because the world is awash in wine from everywhere, and so I figured before I make, you know, really giant commitment, let's see if this idea pops. Let's see if it works, and so. Made some wines that I'm really, really proud of to this day. I still have my one case of 05 Merlot. That's all mine. Nice. So made those and shopped them around and took them out to a couple of, you know, the top wine shops around the borough and had some success with those initial wines. And so after that, the next season, I expanded to six varietals or six labels. So it started with Chardonnay, Merlot, and then those are kind of like the core of the lineup, and then added Social Club White and Social Club Red, which are blends and meant to be really terrific everyday style wines, you know, a little bit less expensive. And then two, what I call the fun wines. And one of them is Viognier. It's a really beautiful aromatic white and not as much on the tip of everybody's tongue as far as knowing what grape it is. So it's kind of fun to go around and show people what it is. And then a red called Motley Crue, CRU. So despite how it sounds, it's not named after the band, but kind of like a little tip of the hat to Brooklyn, because, you know, we're just a mixture of so many people from so many places. And so it's my red blend where I'm playing with, and I'm doing a different wine with it each vintage and blending together different red grapes. And then since then, all those wines were made of grape sourced from Long Island. And since then, starting with 09 vintage, got grapes from the Finger Lakes as well. And so added three new wines to the lineup. So Riesling, which we've got here to sip on a little bit later. And then a Cabernet Franc Rosé. And then a third wine called Shindig White, which is a project I do with a DC friend associate of mine.
Cool.
So yeah, it's really just crisp, juicy white wine to drink.
Are you? Do you have any other like collaborations in mind for the future, as far as that goes?
Yeah, I got a few things coming down the pipeline, and I do a bunch of. Since starting in 2009, have worked with a few customers too, doing custom wines.
Oh, cool.
So a wine shop down in Carroll Gardens, my old neighborhood, is Scotto's Wine Shop, and they're one of the longest running wine shops in the city. And so we do three custom labels for them, two under their Harvey Estate label, a Chardonnay and a Riesling. And then also their Court Street White, which is another table wine, white wine version. Nice. And then Back 40 restaurant over in the East Village, they've got a brand new white wine that we made for them. They're Back 40 White. And then also a rosé for Big Tree Bottles around the corner from us.
Cool.
And it's a Cabernet Sauvignon rosé, really juicy and full of berries and whatnot. So, yeah, always looking to do, you know, custom projects and collaborate with people. That's fun.
We have to do a speakeasy.
Yeah, speakeasy wine. Yes. Speakeasy booze.
Yeah, we could just distill it.
Heck yeah. Let's start right here. What do you got? You got any copper pots lying around?
I think it's in the closet.
Oh, right. Okay. Now. We'll get that. We'll get to that afterwards. Yeah.
So cool. We are. I think we should pour a little glass right now.
Okay.
I'm staring at it.
Okay. And
it's
if we must.
Yeah.
All right. Let's crack this.
Plus, it's the perfect day for a Riesling.
Oh yeah, nice and hot.
And I really like the label too.
Thank you.
This one's called the Friend Riesling.
Yeah, Friend Riesling. Let me pour this, and I'll.
Okay, cool.
You say something while I pour.
It's a really cool label with lots of nice little animals on it. There's a snake. I see a snake.
Yeah, there's a snake. Yes.
Nice.
This is it's my only critter label wine. And critter labels are both loved and not loved in the wine world.
At Linnell's, which is where I met you first.
Right.
We had a whole shelf dedicated to like dog and cat labels.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that's right. That's so cool.
Cheers.
Cheers. Happy Wednesday.
Likewise.
It is Wednesday, right? Yeah. Okay.
It better be. I'm here on the wrong day. Oh, that's really nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this was a lot of fun to make. Just a little background on the name and the label. We call it Friend Riesling and put a bunch of critters on the label because it's the wine in our portfolio that's got a purpose. So it's got all these pictures of all kinds of pets, horses and snakes and turtles and parakeets and, of course, doggies and kitties and whatnot. So it's a portion of the sale of this wine goes to causes that promote safety in pet food.
You know, it's cool.
You know, it's hard enough to find people food that is not right. contaminated, and in the pet food universe, it's not a prettier scene at all. So,
right.
you know.
But things are getting better.
Yeah, you know, more and more people are becoming aware, and, you know, it's one of those things you got to pick at it and work at it bit by bit. So this is my one little way of
helping out.
Yep.
Well, we're going to take a quick little break here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get back, I'd like to talk more about the labels, because it's one of the things that you guys do that is very striking when you see it on the shelf behind a bar. And there's a lot of backstory to it. So Indeed. Let's talk about that when we get back with Ali Shaper from Brooklyn Enology. We are back. This is the Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, we have Ali Shaper from Brooklyn Enology. We just tried some of her great Riesling, the Friend Riesling.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about the label and the cause that, you know, go into testing safe food
for animals, critters. Yeah,
for critters. Yeah. And this is one of the many labels that you have that are done by Brooklyn artists.
Yeah. Each of the wines features a different artist from the borough on it, whether their residence or their studio is here, you know, somehow mm-hmm. based in Brooklyn. And, you know, the idea really is to kind of, you know, to make the wine more than just a company in Brooklyn, but really bring it in as part of the fabric of why we're here, you know. And it's fun because, you know, the wine is so much about the senses, and, you know, to have that sort of extra visual sense along with it.
Absolutely.
And so we put different artists on each of the wines, and then when the vintage of the wines change, then we switch it up to different people and different pieces.
That's awesome.
And none of them, aside from the Friend Riesling, none of them are commissioned either. They're existing pieces, so it's not made for us. It's what the artist does as part of their day-to-day study and mm-hmm. what they want to explore. And so, it's a true picture of what this person is doing. And then all the labels peel off too, because, you know, it's kind of like a cereal box, collect all 12. And, but, you know, that makes it fun because now you can have a little piece of it. You know, we all love to live here because of just the cultural richness that we have, mm-hmm. but we don't all have a bunch of money lying around waiting to spend on large things. And so this way, you know, you can just have them if you just like them, you know, or just simply enjoy them for that day and they're there. And
yeah.
So it's really fun to work with the artists as well.
I know I've got a few of them stuck on my refrigerator.
Do you? Sweet. Yeah. I once saw one stuck on a forklift over at a Kelso Brewery.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool.
I was like, hey, cool. Thanks, guys.
That's nice. Yeah. I remember when the Merlot and the Chardonnay came out, too, mm-hmm. we always had those stuck on the refrigerator. They're good refrigerator stickers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're like magnets, yeah, but better.
Yeah. So we always had those on the refrigerator at work.
Yeah. You should see my refrigerator.
I'm sure. You probably got all kinds of like special edition, like stuff that we've never seen.
It's covered. Yeah. Gonna wallpaper my bathroom next.
So, yeah, totally. That's great. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So how do you get in touch with the different artists, and how do they get in touch with you, you know, as far as like, is there a submission
for
labels?
We've gotten in touch with artists in a bunch of ways. We have an email address for that, art@brooklynenology.com.
Oh, cool.
And we found the artists in a lot of ways, in some ways just by being in other establishments. So many places have art hanging on the walls. I've found a couple artists that way. A couple of them I've met because they were selling their art on the just out on the sidewalk on the street, you know, in all those locations around town. And there's a wealth of stuff to find on the internet also.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I found quite a few people just digging through comprehensive portfolio sites.
Yeah.
And then this winter, for the first time, because we typically have been choosing the labels in-house. And this winter, we decided, let's do like a label contest and really get our customers involved with it too. And so we did a call for submissions, and we got about 100 entries. And then as a company, we juried it down to 5 finalists. And then in the tasting room space that we have now, we're able to do art shows. We do art shows for our label artists now. So we decided, let's put up the 5 artworks as part of a show for 6 weeks and invite people to come down and vote for their favorite. And
so,
you know, the customer favorite democratic vote became the label for one of our brand new wines that's coming out in about a month, our Sauvignon Blanc.
Cool.
And so that was, that's going to feature Margot Walter. And it's this amazing portrait, self-portrait composite piece. And where she's dressed in different costumes and whatnot, and she takes pictures of herself, and there's probably about 200 different images of herself all made in this composite.
Wow.
People hanging out on a lawn on a sunny day, you know, and it looks like you're staring at some park somewhere in New York City. It's cool. It's very cool.
Nice.
So yeah, that's coming out soon.
Let's talk more about the tasting room altogether. That's a pretty new thing for you guys.
It is. Yeah, we opened up in November, and it feels really good to have that open, because that was sort of my phase 2 in the life of BOE, you know, first just started out selling directly to wholesale channels, you know, like when you and I met down at Linnell's and everything, and just selling directly to shops and restaurants and hotels and whatnot. And then it came time where I felt like we were ready for a public space.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
You know, a place where you could come down and talk to us and learn some things. And, you know, I use it as my office, and so I hang out there a lot, you know, and I like being there because, you know, you can talk to people and really tell them, hey, you know, this is why this kind of grape works in New York State, or how to just simply sniff and swirl and smell and how to the technique of tasting wine, and the whole staff is really attuned to that too. You know, everybody is there to show our customers a good time and to really enjoy the wines and learn something about them. So, and then we have our whole portfolio for tasting there at the tasting room. And then we also feature some guest selections from around the state too. So you can see what else is up.
Yeah.
And that rotates constantly. So there's also something
that's very diplomatic.
Yes. Well, you know, we gotta have some promotion for New York. You know, I love New York State and its wine scene. And just in the last decade that I've been a part of the industry, it's changed so much and has just improved at an exponential rate. And, you know, I feel like it's only the right thing to do, because I'm using all New York grapes, you know, to really speak for, I can't say I can speak for everybody, but, you know, try to promote the rest of the state.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it keeps it interesting. I think people can come down and, you know, from month to month, try different things they haven't had before, maybe not, didn't know that existed. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun. And we have a couple of New York spirits there as well.
Oh, cool.
Most recently we've had Kings County Distillery Moonshine, mm-hmm. and McKinsey Rye Whiskey from the Finger Lakes, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And we've had a Combe 9 gin, which is made of orange blossom honey. Yeah. And what else have we had? Oh, Applejack, that's made by Harvest Spirits. And there's all kinds of interesting, cool things that are cropping up around the state.
I love that, the idea of the tasting room, because like when you're rolling through like Western Pennsylvania, or you're driving through Southern Texas, all these places where you don't really think about wine coming from, they always have that tasting room, and it's almost like, depending on where you are in the United States, it's like, obviously it's a tasting room, but then there's always like other kind of things, like, oh, here's like a case full of antique wine corks that you can buy as well, you know, like, and decanters and glassware and stuff like that, and it's and even like kind of like local, sometimes local folk art, and it'll be too. And
it's
a wreath made of wine corks.
Yep. Oh, you see a lot of those out in the world. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just like the idea, because like that is like you really did take that like Hudson Valley thing and bring it to Brooklyn, which is great.
Yeah. You know, instead of being out on the wine trail, just plunking down in Brooklyn, the place was designed to evoke, you know, sort of the more industrial, older Brooklyn, but with clear signs that this is a winery, while not being too, winery kitschy, So we broke down some retired barrels and took them apart with crowbars, and then used the individual staves to make a beautiful textured wall.
Oh, cool.
And things like that, so it's deconstructed pieces of the winery and so on. And when you go to a tasting, you can really get a flavor for the place where that wine comes from. You know, we have all local foods there too. And, got meat and cheese platters and all kinds of great snacks, and from Little Bit Sweets and Brooklyn Salsa and North Fork Potato Chips and on and on. And, so it's beyond wine, cool things, otherwise edible, that you can get from New York, so you can hang out and have a little snick-snack while you...
Totally. It's like a block away from where my band practices, so you'll be seeing me a lot more.
All right, good.
So what are the hours?
Oh, they're a little varied. On weekends, we're open from, Friday noon to... No, sorry. Oh, my gosh. See, they're all different.
Awesome.
Check out the website.
Yeah.
But I'll say... So, typically, weekdays, we open at 2. We're open until 10, 11 at night. So, it's different than a classic tasting room. Mm-hmm. If you go out to Wine Country, typically, they're closed by, 7 o'clock. But, nobody around here is awake and alive at 11 a.m.
Exactly.
Let's face it. It's 2 to 10 or 11 p.m. And then Friday 2 to midnight, Saturday noon to midnight, and Sunday noon to 10, and 7 days a week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Waltz in, and you can waltz in anytime to do, no appointments required. Just come in and do tastings with us. We do flights, groups of 4 samples of wine, so you can mix and match, and you can either pick your own flight, put together anything. Everything that we carry, we have open for tasting too.
Cool.
You can have glasses of wine, and then because we're a winery tasting room, you can also take the bottles to go. So it's kind of like,
sort of
not quite a wine bar, not quite a wine shop, somewhere in the middle.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's on Wythe and...
Yeah. Who, yeah. And 209 Wythe Avenue.
Just north of Metropolitan, right?
Yeah. Between North Third and North Fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neither of us have our information straight.
Yeah.
It's the Riesling. It's getting to me.
Oh. But yeah, real quick trip from the Bedford stop too. So
cool.
Yeah, just a few blocks.
Cool. Any crazy experiment? Are you gonna do a Finger Lakes ice wine coming up?
Oh,
or anything that is, like that?
I would love to.
A bubbly.
Yeah. Oh, people keep asking me about bubbly. I really want to do a bubbly. I really, really want to do a bubbly. It just takes so much darn time to make a good one, And if I'm going to do it, I really want to do it right.
Yeah.
So that's in my back pocket of ideas. But another cool wine we're putting out in a very short while is a skin fermented Pinot Gris.
Cool.
So, which you would classify not as red or white or rosé, but as
orange. Yeah.
Which is kind of a tricky. It's not made of oranges, but it has an orange color. So
right.
With these. Pinot Gris has a mauvey colored skin, and so when you let the skin sit on the juice, it creates this sort of coppery orange tone in the wine. And,
actually, they're becoming
out of nowhere. They become
nowhere,
really
hot.
Yeah, they're like the big topic, and but it's a lot of fun. It's really different. It's not like any other wine you have. It's a white/rosé with some tannin.
Yeah,
It's just not what you expect, and I'm excited about it. You know, I just took 1 ton of Pinot Gris grapes last year and just said, I'm going to try this, and literally without a clue, I'd never done this before, and I didn't know any other of my neighboring winemakers who had done this before, and so I was like, I'll just try it. You know, I read up on how people have done it, and I'm pretty satisfied with the results. So,
cool.
Yeah.
And when do you think that's going to be?
Probably in about a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, can't wait to try that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listeners out there that are close by mm-hmm. here at Roberta's in Bushwick, I was told to tell them that there's a tasting at Big Tree Bottles right around the corner this weekend.
At 43 Bogart Street from 6 to 9 on Friday. We're going to have open the Social Club White and Social Club Red, as well as the Riesling we're having now. And then their custom wine that we made for them, their Roses Are Red Rosé, made of Cabernet Sauvignon.
Great.
All excellent. Excellent sippers.
All right. Well, everyone, come out to this event. Or if you don't, go and see Allie over at the BOE tasting room.
Come say hi.
Yeah. It's been really great to have you on the show today, Allie.
Thank you. A lot of fun to be here. It's really good
catching back up with you.
Yeah. Much too long in general.
And I'll be over there at your tasting room more than you will care to see me.
I will take your company anytime.
All right. All right. That's it for today. We have Allie Shaper from Brooklynology. I'm Damon Bolte. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time on The Speakeasy. Cheers.
Looks that look in his eye, babe. Man, I wouldn't lie. He gets higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking. Got no shoes upon his feet. Man, he's high. I said that cat is high. Yes, he's high. Man, he's higher than a kite.
New York Night Train, Summer Soul Shindig, Rockaway Beach Party, featuring the 45 RPM soul magic of DJ Jonathan Tobin. Saturday, August 20th, 6 to 9 at Ripper's Boardwalk 86. Free party!